This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio, and we have the conclusion of the Star Seeds of Earth on this episode, chapters 90, 91, and the epilogue of the Star Seeds of Earth. This is the end of the story in this book. I'll talk about what I'm working on next a little bit afterwards. The way things stand right now in the story, the United Forces of the Solar Alliance and the Greater Ta have sent a raiding party in to try to take the Hornet's Nest, Alibi Jones' base. The raiding party led by Brisby, their former crewmate. He used to be part of Alibi's crew. Well, he's not really leading the raiding party. He is ostensibly leading it, but it's actually the Strike Force's leader, Drummond, who has the command. They just used Brisby to try to get in with somebody familiar. Now, Alibi had been moving asteroids out of the path of the Hornet's Nest with his mind as they prepared to use their base's new transpace drives. Those aren't operational yet, but they're getting there. But Alibi had to come back inside anyway because of the raid. He had to help fight off the invaders. So it's all coming to a head, and this the conclusion of the Star Seeds of Earth, on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Before we get to the final chapters, little bit of book news. I'm working like a crazy man trying to edit the audiobook of Vatican Assassin, the 15th anniversary edition that has cool cameos. And so I'm not going to talk too long, actually, on this podcast, because I got to get back to doing that. But I've been told by the folks at Audible they need everything in by November 10th to make sure it comes out before Christmas even. So I'm running behind, but I will be trying to get that done. And it will be out in some other places before it's available at Audible because of that. But that's mostly what I've been working on. The Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition audiobook, ebook, paperback. I got to get them all together this weekend. Crunch time. I'll also be putting together Chapter 3 for patrons. You'll be able to listen to Vatican Assassin, the new audio edition, the 15th anniversary audio edition. If you're a patron, you'll get your third chapter this weekend. Next week on the podcast, we're going to be doing the Archmage's History of the Future. But you know what I've been thinking? I think that I'm going to start to debut Vatican Assassin, the new audiobook, as we release the book. So next weekend, no. We will do the Archmage's History and a Q&A if I get any cues. I actually have only gotten one question. I know some other people have said they wanted to ask questions, but now is the time. Get them in here to me now. Either shoot them at me on social media. You can find me on Twitter, /MikeLuoma, MikeLuoma. Same on Facebook, after facebook.com/MikeLuoma. Or you can email me, glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com. However you'd like to get those questions in here. Q&A next week. And then, the week after will be the 21st, and the book will be out. So, yeah, I think we're going to start doing Vatican Assassin right here on this podcast. Just makes sense. We'll save the rest of the history of the future for the future. That is all for the news. Let's get into the conclusion of the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now here's Chapter 90 of the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Alibi, Kitten Cat said. Where are you?
Keep coming. You're almost here, Alibi said. I'm just around the corner.
I am not used to being this large, Kitten Cat said. And this corridor is rather cluttered.
Yeah, it didn't used to be, sorry, Alibi said. I used to jog through here. That's how I knew about the shortcut. Kitten Cat squeezed around the conduits, wires, and piping that now filled 3/4 of the corridor.
How did you run past this stuff, Alibi Jones?
Kitten Cat said, as he caught up. I didn't, Alibi said. It didn't used to be here. Must be since they built up the engines and transpace drives. Guess they needed to run some stuff through here. Nobody really uses these corridors anyway. Not yet.
Except for us,
Kitten Cat said. It should open up soon, Alibi said. We're almost at the transpace drive room. The two of them squeezed down the rest of the way through the corridor and made it to a sealed hatch marked with a caution sign. Alibi punched in the door's code, and it popped open. Come on, he said, and led Kitten Cat through the hatch. As he came around a curve in the corridor, the room opened up, and he spotted a familiar face. The older man, busy at work on a new-looking console, looked up as Alibi and Kitten Cat emerged from the hatch.
Alibi! Krish! Where did you come from?
Krish asked.
And is this Kit?
Kit and Cat, Alibi said, together.
Yes, as you told me, Krish said. I haven't seen him since the augmentation took place.
Augmentation? Alibi didn't like the word. Made him think of the mercenaries he'd run into who had added tech to their bodies. Augmentations prohibited under the laws of the Solar Alliance and the old UTZ.
You prefer a different term, perhaps, Alibi, Chris said. You made a face.
Nah, I guess it works, Alibi said. I just never thought of myself as getting augmented, and yet, well, I guess that's the word.
Augmentation doesn't have to be a bad thing, Alibi.
I guess not, Alibi said. And I can do things with my mind I couldn't before, Krish. I think it took whatever little ability I had and improved it. Augmented it, I guess you're right. And I have some limited access to the Starseed's knowledge base, when it lets me in.
Hello, Krish,
Kitten Cat said, speaking up.
Hello, Kit, Krish said. And Cat! I am very happy you are no longer dead, Cat.
Thank you, Kitten Cat said.
You look very different, Krish said. Taller and more dangerous.
I am no longer myself, Kitten Cat said. It is a very disconcerting and major adjustment.
I'd heard you've been keeping to yourself since the change, Krish said. You should know, you are both loved. And now that there are two of you, both Kit and Kat, inside of you, you are loved twice as much.
Thank you, Doctor, Kit and Kat said. It is odd to speak of it so openly, and yet it feels better to do so. Again, this seems odd.
Talking cure, Chris said. A human concept. Sometimes it helps us when we talk through our difficulties. Perhaps it can work for you as well, Kitten Cat.
Perhaps, Kitten Cat said.
You know, Chris said, lowering the volume of his voice a little conspiratorially, I think you look very cool now. A lean Sasquatch.
What is that word you said?
Sasquatch, Chris repeated. Large mythical furred creatures back on Earth. Legends, really.
I see, Kitten Cat said. I think I heard Emily use the term earlier, when things were less clear.
Alibi was enjoying the banter, but had to change the subject. What's happening with the transpace drive, Krish?
Ah, yes, Krish smiled. We are almost ready to go.
Almost? Alibi asked. I thought you said almost yesterday.
Almost-er? Krish said. We are only about an hour or two away from being able to try them out.
Krish opened his arms and gestured at the room they were in.
Is that why you're sneaking into my control room through the back door?
No, Alibi drew the word out. We're here because of the safe raid Brisby is leading on the Hornet's Nest.
What?
Chris said, alarmed.
Safe raid?
Don't tell me you don't know.
I have turned the comms off to finish, Chris said. There is a raid? And Brisby?
They could come through that door any second, Alibi said. He nodded at the main entrance to the room.
There were none behind you, I hope,
Chris said. Not that we could see, Alibi said. And you've clogged up those corridors pretty well with all the new gear you've installed for the drives.
True, Chris said.
Turn your comms back on, Chris, Alibi said. What if I tried to get in touch with you? Chris turned the comm back on.
Oh, I just know, Chris said. It's the funniest thing, probably tied to your latent abilities. But I have always known when you are about to call me. I get a feeling.
Really? Alibi said. Krish! Emily's voice came over the newly restored comm.
Emily, yes, go ahead, Krish said. Alibi and Kit and Kat are here.
Stop turning off your comms, Krish, Emily commanded.
Yes, ma'am, Krish said. We are on a secure line now.
Good. Alibi?
Yes, Emily, Alibi said. Kit and Kat and I have made it into the Transspace Drive control room.
Good, she said. Keep on coming. Those were scouts. They've got reinforcements now.
On our way, Alibi said.
One more thing, Emily said. You see any sign of safe troopers on your way in? They may try a flanking action.
No, he said. But we were avoiding them. Made our way in through the corridors where the gear has been installed now.
Well, your way to the engine room should be clear. They're coming at us from the other side. But watch yourself when you come down the connecting corridor towards us, she said. There's at least one side corridor they could come in on. I have people watching the way now.
Make sure they don't shoot us, Alibi joked.
We'll try not to, Emily said.
Great, thanks, Alibi said. Very reassuring.
Just get here, she said. Please.
On our way, Alibi repeated.
Emily out, she said.
Alibi turned back to Krish.
We need this to work now, Krish, Alibi said. How close are you, really?
Give me 30 minutes, Krish said. I'm finishing up the synchronization between the two drives now.
You've got 30, Alibi said, but no more.
Got it, Krish said.
Let's go, Kitten Cat, Alibi said. He nodded to the entrance.
Yes, Alibi,
Kitten Cat said, moving to the entrance alongside him. Krish followed them over to the door.
No, Krish, don't get so close to the entrance, Alibi said. There could be safe troopers on the other side of this hatch.
You get back on your console. Please.
Good point, Chris said.
He walked back to the control panels. Alibi opened the hatch. The backs of four safe troopers, settled up on either side of the corridor, greeted Alibi and Kitten Cat as the door flew open.
Krish, Alibi called, lock the door.
Roar!
Before Alibi could aim his gun, Kitten Cat let out a roar and howl and leapt into action. Between Alibi yelling and Kitten Cat's howling, they lost most of the element of surprise. But the safe troopers hadn't expected an attack from behind. They were supposed to be the ones attacking from behind. Emily was right about the flanking action. Here they are. Fwash! Alibi fired, stunning one of the troopers unconscious. Alibi's gun was set for stun, but Kitten Cat was set on kill. The double dakur closed the distance to the nearest trooper and raked razor-sharp claws across their face and upper torso. Blood began spurting everywhere.
Rah!
Kitten Cat straightened up from the trooper's body.
Fwash!
One of the safe troopers managed to get off a shot at Kitten Cat. Alibi happily noted their gun was set for stun as well. The shot missed, and Kitten Cat closed on the firing trooper.
Fwash!
The trooper shot Kitten Cat at point-blank range on stun. Alibi steeled himself to finish this skirmish alone. But Kitten Cat looked down at some singed fur on their chest and simply smiled. The trooper blanched as Kitten Cat showed their teeth.
Fuck this, the remaining trooper said, and he made to set his blaster to kill.
But the time he took gave Alibi opportunity.
Fwash!
The trooper fell, the blaster bouncing across the corridor floor.
No!
Alibi heard the last trooper beg Kitten Cat. His scream ended abruptly. Alibi turned to see Kitten Cat nearly take the man's head off with a swipe of his claws. Once again, blood sprayed around the body and Kitten Cat. The augmented dakur looked up from his kill. A dreadful sight. Blood dripping off their fur. There was death in their eyes. Alibi wasn't sure he could see either Kit or Cat in them at the moment. Kit? Alibi tried. Cat? The large catman's eyes cleared. They then widened, as if Kit and Cat were only now seeing what they'd done. The hatch on the other end of the corridor opened, and four Hornet's Nest security guards emerged. One of them stumbled as they saw the blood and bodies on the ground, but the others ignored the gore and carnage and made for the side entrance the safe troopers must have used. The stumbler straightened up and followed his friends. Alibi! Emily called from the open hatch at corridor's end. Alibi and Kitten Cat stepped over the bodies on the floor and walked over to Emily. Two stunned, two dead, Alibi said. I don't think Kitten Cat has a stun setting.
I do not know how this...
Kitten Cat started, but stopped.
Neither of us felt in control when we did that, they finished.
Maybe you're a berserker now, Emily said.
A what now?
Kitten Cat said. Berserker, Emily repeated. Ancient human warriors. They'd kind of lose their minds, lose themselves in battle. Fierce warriors, feared by many.
I do not like the sound of that,
Kitten Cat said.
Losing our minds or ourselves does not seem like a good thing.
Well, no, Alibi started to answer, but Emily cut him off. No time for chit-chat, she said. We're under fire. Come on. Emily led them inside the main control room, past banks of consoles, to the front entrance. The corridor leading to the main control room could fit three people across, two comfortably walking, narrow enough to give a defensive advantage to those holding off the safe troopers.
Emily! One of the guards called back to them. They've switched their blasters to kill!
I think we can thank the berserker for that, Emily said, turning to glare at Alibi and Kitten Cat.
Fwash! Fwash!
Blaster fire echoed from the corridor. Hornet's Nest security returned fire.
Fwash!
Is the Hornet's Nest moving towards the space I cleared? Alibi asked. We are, but Alibi, you didn't clear anywhere near enough space, Emily said. Not for a transpace jump. We try moving something as big as the Hornet's Nest into transpace, it's going to create a big gravity point. Anything you didn't move far enough away will come zooming in as we shift over. We'll take a ton of damage in transpace, dragging them in behind us.
I don't think we have much of a choice, Alibi said. If you can hold off the troopers, I can try to move more of the asteroids off.
At the rate you were working? Emily said. We don't have that kind of time.
I told you, those Shenta enforcer ships were sweeping rocks out of their way with their force fields. They're closing the distance. We can hold a handful of troopers off, but once they can get to us, we're toast.
Sounds like you think we're done, Alibi said. This brilliant idea of yours to move the Hornet's Nest is going to get us all killed, she said. I think you fucked up, Alibi Jones, and you probably can't fix this one.
I can still try, Alibi said. Don't give up yet.
I'm not, she said. I just don't like this feeling of impending doom.
Then blow it off, Alibi said. You're creating the perception of doom yourself. And that will rub off on everyone else, so lose it. Now.
Is that an order? She said.
Yes.
Alibi walked to a nearby console and called up a floating screen with a tactical display showing him where the Shenta ships were in relation to the Hornet's Nest.
That's not too bad.
Then, as Alibi watched, asteroids began to move away from the enforcers, pushed off by their force fields. They were moving a lot more rocks all at once than Alibi had in the time he'd been out there himself.
Wrong, that's bad.
Quick visual estimates told him the enforcer ships would be on top of them in under 2 hours.
And the outer edge of the waves of asteroids the enforcer ships had been pushing away from in front of them would begin to impact the Hornet's Nest soon, under an hour.
Well, at least now I know why Emily feels like we're doomed. Knowledge base?
No answer.
Alibi called Emily over to him.
You've got defenses under control, he asked.
Why?
I'm going to try to move more rocks with my mind, Alibi said. That was my intention anyway, coming back in. Get the Hornet's Nest moving towards the space I've cleared. I'm going to keep clearing away more rocks.
Gotcha, she said. Yeah, we can hold for now. You get busy, or whatever it is you do.
Yeah, thanks, Alibi said.
He found a seat apart from the chaos, away from the battle. As barking voices and blasters echoed in the background, Alibi closed them off and concentrated on powering up on mine water for the tasks ahead. When he felt full enough, he reached out again with his mind. Maybe he'd been doing this wrong. Could he create a force field wave with his mind? Similar to the ones the enforcers were creating with their tech. They copied him. Why shouldn't he copy them? He created a sheet of mind water energy in front of the Hornet's Nest and began moving it forward.
It's working!
Alibi felt the mind water wave pushing most of the rocks in front of them out of the way. He heard Emily say something that echoed around him. He focused on the words to make them out.
Alibi, you're doing it!
He sent another wave out, pushing asteroids out of their path.
Almost.
An explosion next to Alibi jarred him out of his concentration. He stood up, peering through smoke and haze, trying to figure out what got hit.
What happened? He asked when he caught Emily's eye.
They're pressing in. Just use a concussion grenade.
Jesus, Alibi said.
We got any of those?
Yeah, but we haven't been using them.
Throw one back at them.
You got it.
Fwash!
That came from behind him.
"We've got incoming," a young security guard said as he came running in from the back. "Need reinforcements!" Fwash! Fwash!
The blaster fire from the back grew closer.
"Emily!" Alibi called. "Busy!" came the response, and Alibi spotted her in hand-to-hand combat, holding off safe troopers from getting in the door.
"Maybe we are doomed."
"Alibi!"
Krish was calling on the comms.
"Go ahead." "We are ready," Krish said. "I think. I hope."
"Fire them up," Alibi said. "Get ready to jump." Alibi saw Kit and Kat watching him from across the control room, seemingly frozen, conflicted.
"Kit and Kat," Alibi called over to him.
The furry one made his way across the room.
"Yes, Alibi."
"We need you," Alibi said. "Even you as a berserker. Emily and our forces are tied up, holding off the frontal assault. But now, they're coming in back where we ran into them before, between the control rooms. Go back there and help hold them off, okay?"
"But Alibi, I do not wish to..."
"Look, they'll kill us if you don't," Alibi said. "It's self-defense."
"Very well, then,"
Kit and Kat said. The double Dakur turned and ran for the back.
"Roar!"
He heard the Catman howling and roaring as Alibi tried to calm and focus his mind. He had one more chance to move rocks away before they tried the transpace engines.
"Alibi!"
Krish called again, interrupting his meditation.
"Go ahead, Krish," Alibi said. "You have done an amazing job," Krish said. "There is only one very large gravity signature left out there I am worried about for the jump. Sending you the coordinates now."
Alibi checked the scans in front of him when the coordinates came through. Alibi's mind water waves had moved most of the rocks out of their way, but there was a large planetoid that hadn't budged when the wave hit it, still sitting smack dab towards the center of where they needed to be. In fact, the hornet's nest was heading for the planetoid at increasing speed. If he didn't get it to move, not only would they not be able to jump into transpace, they'd hit the damn thing. Alibi focused his mind and reverted back to his previous strategy. He felt out for the rock with his mind, to know it, and propel it through that knowledge. The rock felt like the hornet's nest. It was almost as large as they were. Not good.
"I don't know if I can move it."
Alibi stretched out, trying to encompass the planetoid. He thought of the hornet's nest. Having jogged throughout its many corridors, he had some sense of the space it occupied, its immensity. This new rock, too, was this large, and he sent his mind jogging across its surface, trying to feel it out, encompass it. He built up mind water and left it flowing behind him as he ran, trying to create a net of it around the rock. Part of his mind registered the sounds around him. Kit and Kat roaring in battle, Emily barking orders, the fwash of blaster fire, and kept them at bay, compartmentalized.
"Now, the energy is here. I am the rock. We must move. Where does not matter. Out of the way."
"Alibi!"
Krish broke through his concentration.
"We must jump!"
"Now it is."
With every ounce of energy, every bit of mind water he could dredge from his depths, every last drop of his concentration, Alibi locked back in on the rock, so much like the hornet's nest. He pushed with his mind.
"Out of the way!"
Mind water flowed out of him.
He felt a shift. There was movement, massive movement.
Weakened and drained, Alibi lost consciousness, slid off his chair and onto the floor, out cold. Chapter 91. Hospital room? Alibi woke up in a hospital room. His head hurt.
Pounding. Stop pounding. It's still pounding. Ah.
He's coming around, someone said. He thought it was Dr. Mevy. Alibi opened his eyes. It was Mevy, but she was leaving the room. In came Emily, Kitten Cat, and Krish.
Good to see you conscious, Alibi, Krish proclaimed.
Shh, Alibi said. Headache.
Gotcha,
Krish said, whispering.
We are glad you have not damaged your brain, Alibi Jones, Kitten Cat said.
Thanks, Alibi said. Good to see you awake, Emily added. You had us worried. Been a few days.
What happened? Alibi asked.
Emily and Krish looked at each other. Kitten Cat remained silent. We're alive and not under arrest, so...
We were successful? Alibi asked.
Emily walked over to the wall and called up a large view screen. Alibi saw a beautiful blue-green Earth-like world he didn't recognize nearby. A strange orange, red, and yellow nebula filled much of the screen.
We've got Brisby, some asshat named Drummond, and a couple more safe grunts locked up in the brig, Emily said.
We won the battle. Heavy casualties on their side. She looked over at Kitten Cat, who shrugged like a human.
You asked for the Berserker, Kitten Cat said.
We did, Alibi said. So where are we? Where did we jump to?
The three turned to look at Alibi.
We were hoping you'd know, Emily said.
Me?
The transspace drives were never engaged, Alibi, Krish said. And since the move, we cannot jump, not knowing our location.
You picked a good world, Alibi, Emily said. I've been down there. Place is beautiful.
I didn't pick anything. I don't remember piloting us through transspace.
Because you didn't, Krish said. Didn't you hear me? The transspace drives were never engaged. You did this with your mind, we think.
Alibi ran through events in his mind. Maybe, at the last second, with Krish's interruption, he'd changed targets. He must have locked back down onto the wrong rock and moved the hornet's nest instead of the other rock. Out of the way.
No transspace drives?
Nuh-uh, Emily said.
And you don't know where we are?
No idea, Krish said. Charts are useless.
Alibi looked at the screen, out at the new blue-green world, the unfamiliar stars and the nebula. He tried to cast his mind out to see if he could feel where they were. All he felt was his head pounding again. Maybe it was time to give his newfound abilities a rest for a little bit.
If I still have them. Could I have burned myself out?
Might not be such a bad thing. Alibi looked around at Kitten Cat, Emily, and Krish, gathered with him in the Hornet's Nest hospital room. He didn't need the Starseed's enhancements to know what he felt for his friends and their home.
Friendship, pride, love.
And we're safe, at least for now.
Out of the way.
Epilogue.
Bill? Gentry turned off the media center before Anita could see what he'd been watching. He turned to her, looking oddly pale. The blood drained from his face.
Anita, I'm sorry.
She immediately knew something was wrong, very wrong. She felt her stomach flip, the way it did sometimes when you lost artificial G for a second. She pushed past Gentry and turned the media center back on.
Garish red headlines screamed breaking news and displayed the hornet's nest on a field of stars.
And words, other words, Her brain wasn't letting her read nor understand those words. The announcer cut in and said them for her. Again, this just into your Depot Newsline source. The Solar Alliance and its allies, the Greater Ta, are reported to have destroyed the renegade outpost known as the Hornet's Nest in a stunning, full-on assault. There was no sign of the station left after its complete and utter destruction. Off! Gentry commanded. The media center went silent and dark. And that is the end of the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. The end? Where are they? Where's the Hornet's Nest? Nobody knows. And back in the Solar Alliance, they now think they're dead. Destroyed. I'm sure there will be an investigation. So I have been working on the next book, which picks up right where this leaves off. Although I've had to put stuff on hold lately, because I'm jamming on all the Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition stuff right now. I can't wait to get back to writing this book, the sequel, so to speak. Most of the story, the plot, the characters, it's all laid out. Some incredibly cool shit, too, I think. I hope. But again, I've had to put it on hold for a bit while I do this Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition stuff, so I'm kind of itching to get back to it. I'm still not sure what the title's going to be. Out there? Unforeseen? Consequences? I don't know. Unforeseen consequences, maybe. Time and consequence? Consequential? Far-flung tales? I don't know. I'm just, you know, riffing here, but it is in the works, and I hate to predict anything, but my hope is that I'll have it for you sometime in the spring. We shall see. I thought that Starseeds of Earth would be finished years earlier than it was, so I'm not really good at predicting my own output, but that's what I'm hoping. Hoping as soon as I get this Vatican Assassin stuff out, that I can get back to work on it. And that is the next thing to be looking for. It is coming. The Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition is on the way. In just a couple of weeks, it's going to be out November 20th. Audiobook, ebook, paperback. And it'll start here on the podcast. Remember, Q&A next week, so get your questions into me. If you have any questions about any part of the Alibi Jones universe, feel free to fire them at me. And I will try to do a Q&A next week based on the questions I get. That is all for this time around. I hope you come back for the festivities next week, Q&A, and the Archmage's History of the Future. And then in 2 weeks, we'll begin with the Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition audiobook with the special guest cameos. It's going to be good. I promise. I've been hearing it. I know it's good. And again, if you'd like to become a patron and help support this podcast, please go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to my site, glowinthedarkradio.com. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook
wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.